I'm reading today from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, 'All those farmhands working for my father sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death? I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech, 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to his servants, 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found.' And they began to have a wonderful time." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, may my words be your words. May our thoughts be your thoughts. Lord, make our deeds to be your deeds. Amen. You do something long enough, you usually get pretty good at it. You develop a certain level of skill or proficiency. If you were to play a musical instrument for 12 or 13 years, you really ought to be able to play just about anything someone puts in front of you. You play a sport for 12 or 13 years. You know what you're doing out there. You're probably only limited by the amount of time you can spend on it. I went to kindergarten, grade school, and high school for 13 years. I got so good at it, they gave me a diploma when I was finished. I went to college for 12, 13 years. I got a husband to show for that. If you do something long enough, you usually get pretty good at it. Let's say you have a child, a little baby, and you are a parent to that child 24/7 for 12 or 13 years. You'd think you'd get pretty good at being a parent. You'd think you'd develop a certain skill level or proficiency or confidence, but that's not always true. It used to be so simple with my kids. I'd squat down and they would run into my arms. I'd walk into the room and they were so happy to see me, they would clap their little hands and smile. They would hold my hand anytime, anywhere, they'd reach for it themselves. I could kiss their cheeks and they'd kiss me back. We had pet names for each other. I combed their hair when it was sticking up in weird places. And if we were away from water or baby wipes, and there was a smudge of dirt on their sweet little faces, I could take care of that with a spit bath. For several years, I thought I was pretty good at being a parent. But now I'm not so sure. The rules are changing. None of that old stuff is allowed anymore. If I squat down, the only reason the children run to me is because they know I'll need help getting back up. If I walk into the rooms, they're not clapping their hands. They want to know, did I knock first? There's no more of this hand-holding or kissing little cheeks or using pet names in public. That's embarrassing. And I haven't been allowed to touch either one of their hair in years, which is my disclaimer for you when you see them out and it's sticking up. They won't let me fix it. And let me tell you, today, if I lick my thumb, I have just started a war. A war I will lose. All of those things a young parent learns to do, an older parent has to learn to stop doing. Because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to hold your mama's hand walking into middle school. It's embarrassing to have her slick down your hair or try to clean your face with a spit. Parents learn to do things that they later have to turn around and learn to quit doing. And we do. We learn. I see it sometimes on Sundays during worship. You know, when the little choirs sing and they finish and we clap and they run to us and they hug us and they can't wait to hear our words of affirmation. You parents are so proud and so in love with your little darlings. I can see that from up here. But when the youth choir sing, when they finish, they're not running to you anymore, are they? They're walking right on by you to go sit in the back with their friends. Some of them walk on out the door to drive themselves home because they've already been to an earlier service. But from up here, we can still see your faces. And we can see that you are still so proud and still so much in love with your bigger darlings. But you've learned to stop doing that which felt so natural just a few short years ago. We learned to temper not our love, but how we express that love so as not to embarrass our children. We learn new skills. We learn to let go. But we know there is always one little part of us that is still holding their hands. Always. And so we hear the story of this father with two sons. And he is so proud of those sons and still so much in love with them. But when this younger son, who's shaven now, when this younger son says, Dad, I want my stuff now, that father learns a new skill. And he divides his wealth between his sons. Don't you think that father's thinking, where is that little boy who used to call me daddy? The one who used to run to me and not from me. The Bible says that before too long, this son takes all of his stuff and he leaves. Do you daddies think what we mamas think at a time like that? What if he gets sick? What if he gets hurt? What if he gets scared? Will he remember what we've taught him? Will he remember how much we love him? Will he remember? Most of us parents already know the suffering our wandering children will face, the tears they will cry, the pain that will buckle their knees. We already know what's ahead for them because most of us have already lived it ourselves. We ache to warn our children of the dangers. We try to convince them what we've already learned, that you can find everything you're searching for right here. You don't have to leave to find it. But this father knows a love that goes deeper than protection, deeper than another warning, deeper than a flat denial. And this father learns a new skill. He learns to love enough to let his son go, I believe, with his blessing. Because sometimes we have to learn things the hard way. That is never a father's wish. But sometimes that's what it takes. And this father, so proud of his son, still so very much in love with that boy, this father watches his son leave, hoping and praying that the road that leads him off will someday bring him back home. We know a little bit about life after a son leaves, gone from home but never gone from our hearts. Every meal, an empty place at the table. Every time we walk by that empty bedroom, memories flood in on us. And every time the father sees one son, he's reminded of the other who's gone. How many tears have been shed? How many sleepless nights? How many times has that father wondered about his son, worried about his safety, wished for his return? How many times does that father look down that road that led his son away? Yeah, this father has learned all sorts of new skills. And now it's time for the son to learn some too. The hard way. Until one day, Luke says, the son came to his senses. Now, Luke doesn't say that the son gained some deeper understanding of himself or of those friends who left him when the money ran out. Luke doesn't say the son has a better handle on human nature or original sin or the struggle between good and evil. Luke says it is the image of his father that changes the boy. The son came to himself when he thought of his father. You see, the son did remember. He remembered the love. He remembered the pain in his father's eyes the day he left. And this son does something he hasn't done in such a long, long time. He gets up and he runs back to his father. You know, the father must have been watching and waiting for that boy to come home, because the story says while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. Saw, ran, embraced, kissed. In the East, it's unbecoming, it's undignified for a grown man to run. It's embarrassing. As embarrassing as any pet name, as embarrassing as any spit bath, it's embarrassing for an older man to run. And yet this father runs. He runs. I know of no better picture of God than this waiting father peering down the road, longing for his son's return, and then springing to his feet, running to meet him.
Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son, come home again. Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. And I wondered then if things could ever be the same. Then one night I remembered his love for me. And down that dusty road ahead I could see it was the only time. It was the only time I ever saw him run. And then he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son, come home again," lifted my face, wiped tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise, and he brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw him run to me. I was so ashamed, all alone and so far away. But now I know he's been waiting for this day. I saw him run to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son, come home again," lifted my face, wiped tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, I felt his love for me again. He ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son, come home again," lifted my face, wiped tears from my eyes, and with forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son," he called me son. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He ran to me, and then I ran to him. He ran to me, and then I ran to him. He ran to me. When God
ran. You know, many of us wonder, does anyone really love me? Does anyone really care? If people knew who I was and what I was about, would they accept me? And with this story, Jesus says, His Father knows who you are. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've been doing. He knows your rebellion was deliberate. He knew the mess you would get in before you ever even left. Jesus' Father knows all about you. And while you are yet still a long way off, He sees you. He runs to you, embraces you, kisses you, and restores you. This Father forgives without asking any questions. And He can hardly wait to give new life back to His Son, an abundant life of feasting and celebrating. If you were to go home today and read all of Luke chapter 15, you'd find three parables there, all of them about lost things. There's a lost coin, a lost sheep, and there's the story of the lost son. And in each of these stories, you'd hear the same words, "Rejoice with me," says the shepherd who finds the sheep. "Rejoice with me," says this woman who finds the coin. "Rejoice. Come celebrate with me," says this father when his son comes home. All of those voices are the voice of God. Our God who rejoices, not because there are 1,000 of us here on Sunday morning to praise Him, but because one of his children has finally come back home. Does anyone really love me? Does anybody really care? If y'all knew who I was, would you accept me? Yes. God does. God knows all about you, and He rejoices over you. He's been waiting for you to come back home. In this beautiful story, Jesus insists that His Father is crazy, goofy, in love with us, and that God can scarcely bear to live without us. You see, God wants us back more than we will ever want to come back. And you don't have to go into great gushing detail about your sin or pledge to live in undying purity and perfection, because this God cuts all that off. He doesn't even listen to it. All we have to do, this story says, is to show up. And God grabs us and holds us tight and pulls us into a party so we won't get away and so we will never leave Him again, because He never wanted us to leave to begin with. God's love for us is that crazy. It's that outrageous. Now, why doesn't this God learn a little taste and discretion in dealing with us? Why doesn't He show a little more restraint, have a little more respect for Himself? Why doesn't this God learn to temper the expression of His love like we parents learn to do? Why doesn't He show a little more dignity? It'd be downright embarrassing if it weren't so altogether lovely and loving. God our Father sees us, runs to us, embraces us, and kisses us with infinite compassion, unconditional love, and everlasting forgiveness. And if we were to read this book, this Bible that we call our own, we would learn that God expects the same thing of us. You know, sons grow up to become fathers themselves. Daughters become mothers. Christians begin to look a little bit like Christ. And God expects us to love others as He has loved us, not just with dignified handshakes and wishes of well-being, but with sloppy spit baths of love, lavish, extravagant. It'd be embarrassing if it weren't so altogether lovely and loving. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God the Father, I need to know that You love me anyway. After all the stuff I've done, intentionally, deliberately, I need to know, Father, that You love me. And because You love me, I know that You can help me love others. We thank You for Your love. Amen.